Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 62. It's been a while since you've heard from me, so let me give you a quick update. I've only done a few episodes in the last few months, but that's because my wife and I have been enjoying getting to know our son, Teddy. Teddy was born in February, and we're so thankful. He's healthy, and we're thankful that we were able to take some time off to be with him. Also, we moved out of Chicago and have been in a major transition the last few months, moving a few times, but we're finally settled in our new home in Wheaton, Illinois, and we absolutely love it here. On top of all that, I've been working on my new book, which is scheduled to be released at the end of September. It's called Courage to Stand: Profiles of Enduring Faith. And if you click the link in this episode page, scroll down, you can read the introduction and the first chapter for free. So Courage to Stand began as a follow-up to my first book, Conflicted, Pulling Back the Curtain on Public Education, which pointed out the radical ideologies that have taken over the public school system, and I encouraged families to homeschool instead. But for those of you teachers, administrators, who for whatever reason can't leave your career in education, maybe God has called you there, Courage to Stand was written to encourage you to follow God's path for your life. But I quickly realized the message of the book applies to all Christians of all backgrounds, whether you're a teacher, a doctor, an electrician, or a stay-at-home mom. The message of the book is timeless. And that message is, in a culture of fear and intimidation like we're in right now, it can be scary for Christians to stand on God's word for fear of being canceled or ostracized or even fired from your job. So the stories in this book are true, and they span thousands of years from ancient biblical times all the way up to the present. And these stories prove how God comes through for his children when they are obedient and when they stand courageously on his word. And that's a message I believe applies to believers, young and old, men and women. So check that out and keep your eye out for that next month. I have just two stories to talk about in this podcast. The first story comes from California, but similar policies can be found across the country, so it's important for everyone to know about. Assembly Bill 1955, also known as the Safety Act, was just approved by California's Governor Newsom in July, and this bill prohibits parental notification policies. Prohibits, stops, won't allow parental notification policies. Now, notice it's called the Safety Act. Of course, they use, you know, warm and fuzzy words to describe something that undermines parents and abuses children. Funny how that works. So you're not going to tell parents about their child's mental and emotional health, and that equals safety? So who is being kept safe here? Well, if the parents are the ones out of the loop, then it seems this bill keeps the children safe from their own parents. See how that works? Parents are the bad guys, the enemy, while the state and the school, they're the good guys. They're the protectors. Now, this is old news, been happening for many years now. And in fact, that's the nature of government schools, where the state, the system, becomes the caregivers, and the parents are, they're not just non-factors, they're obstacles that need to be removed. Now, that's not to say there aren't great and wonderful teachers, because there are. I know a ton of them. But they're not making the laws. They're subject to the laws. And if they don't fall in line, if they don't bow the knee, then they're going to face lawsuits, reprimands, they might even lose their jobs. So, teachers, administrators, if you're not okay with lying to parents and hiding critical information about their children, then prepare for a major conflict. Not just professionally, but personally, spiritually. Again, parental notification policies are the ones that require school staff to notify parents if their child says they're gay, they're transgender, or if they want to use different names in school or different pronouns. Now, according to the Real Impact website, this bill, quote, prohibits all school employees or contracted individuals from being required to notify parents of any information regarding their child's gender identity or sexual orientation, end quote. So, school staff cannot be required to notify parents about the well-being of their children. School staff, however, can go out of their way and talk to parents if they choose, but they're not legally obligated. So, parents, this means the state, the government schools, and all the adults associated with the state government schools have a more intimate knowledge of your own children than you do, potentially. This is what I've been talking about for 4 years now, the undermining of parents. Now, this bill here legalizes the division, the destruction of the family unit, of parental rights. Again, this is a California bill, but we do see similar school policies all across the country, from coast to coast and everywhere in between, whether it be a parental secrecy policy, a student affirmation plan, or something more discreet like a health and wellness policy, an affirming policy, or anti-bullying policy. There's no shortage of avenues or tactics that are used to implement these sexually inappropriate, confusing, dangerous, divisive, frankly, absurd policies. But what if you send your kids to a public school and you really like the school? Maybe you know the principal, you know the teachers, you know the school counselors, maybe you even have friends on the school board. You might think that surely they'll let you know something as serious and life-altering about your child like their identity, right? Maybe, maybe not. You really can't know you're being told the truth because there's no legal obligation and there's no incentive for school staff to keep you in the loop. So it basically comes down to the morality, the character, the judgment, the reliability, and the courage of school staff. So are you willing to stake your child's heart, soul, and mind on the policies of government schools? Now, I'm making a pretty dramatic point here, and I know all states are different and state laws can differ, but these radical policies have only become more prominent in the last 4 years. And really, they go back decades and decades. So they're not going away just because you know about them. So I'd encourage all of you, whether you have kids in the public schools, private schools, or you work in a public school or a private school, find out what your school's parental notification policy is, along with their DEI policy, their health and wellness policy, their anti-bullying policy. And then you can make informed decisions about how you want your child to be educated. But I caution you to be ready to face a conflict if you happen to hold biblical values or a biblical worldview, because our current culture is openly hostile toward Christianity and toward the Bible. Now, the second story, this story is for all of my fellow coaches out there, whether you coach in a public school, a private school, or even if you're a homeschool parent coaching your kids in a town league or a travel league, you're not exempt from radical, woke, DEI transgender policies. So let me tell you about Coach John Parks. John Parks had coached track and field for more than 40 years, and over that time, he worked with high schoolers, college athletes, and even Olympians. He had been coaching high school athletics in Oregon until this spring. Now, from what I've read, there's nothing that says Coach Parks claimed to be a Christian or that he held biblical values or anything like that. In fact, he said himself that, quote, I'm a staunch defender of transgender rights. For decades, I've been a voice for equitable and inclusive treatment for students with a wide variety of gender and sexual identities, on the track and in the classroom, end quote. But Coach Parks did hold the opinion that, quote unquote, trans athletes should not be allowed to compete in girls' sports, but they should be able to compete in their own division, just like men and women have their own divisions. He thought the state's trans policies, which allow students to compete based on their gender identity as opposed to their biological sex, he thought those policies had, quote, major flaws that are inviting the discrediting of the entire existence and value of female athletics, end quote. And I would agree with that part. I mean, just look at the recent Olympic Games, where a man won the gold medal in women's boxing. And that's where these DEI trans policies ultimately lead, to women getting beat up and pummeled by men. And we're supposed to just cover our eyes and cover our ears and nod along in agreement, as if this is a good thing, like it's loving and caring and fair? So what did Coach Parks do about his concern? Well, he emailed a letter as a private citizen to the state's executive director of activities, the OSAA, which oversees athletics in Oregon. Coach Parks' email stated, quote, "I 100% support transgender students in every educational, academic, and societal situation, except in athletics, where their bodies have a major physical and hormonal advantage," end quote. His suggestion was that a separate trans category be created alongside men's and women's categories so that trans athletes could compete against each other. Now, Coach Parks even had his school principal and athletic director review his letter before he sent it, and nobody objected to it. But a few days after sending the email to the state association, the state's DEI representative saw the coach's email and immediately began to falsely accuse the coach of discrimination, harassment, bullying, and creating a hostile environment for trans students. And even though no evidence of this behavior was ever produced or ever presented, the coach was fired just a few weeks later. He was never even given the chance to respond or defend himself against these allegations. And that's where we are right now. That's our culture. That's our society. That's a snapshot of our moral state as a nation. And this coach wasn't even taking a biblical stance. That wasn't his motivation at all, from what I can tell. He was just simply observing male and female athletes over a 40-year career, and he came to the common sense conclusion that men and women are simply different. But states and government schools are intensely serious about these DEI trans policies. Now, this was in a public school, but state and local groups all over the country are following suit. These policies are everywhere. And if you happen to be part of a group that does not have a DEI or a trans policy, it's just a matter of time until someone exposes that and exploits that. And then the battle comes to your doorstep. So my point is, are you ready for that type of intense, high-stakes conflict? So whether you're in public schools, private schools, or even homeschool groups, if you're a Christian and you want to stand on God's word and not bow the knee to these ungodly policies, there's a fiery furnace waiting for you, so to speak. But it's absolutely imperative that we take stands against these anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian ideologies. Because if they're left unchecked, they'll destroy not just girl sports or women's sports, but they'll destroy families. They'll destroy the lives of these poor kids. So parents, your kids are watching you, and they'll remember why you do the things you do and why you take the stances you take. It's a biblical principle that we are to teach God's commandments to our children. When we wake up, when we go to bed, in the house, outside the house, Deuteronomy 6 says to teach God's word, his commandments, diligently to our children. And that's my encouragement to you today, to prioritize God's word and to teach it to your kids. How exactly you should respond to these spiritual conflicts is between you and God, but I encourage you to engage in the process. Be willing to be used by God. And it begins by spending time with God in prayer and reading his word. So that's all I have for you in this episode, just those two stories to consider. That's the state of state schools. Take care, everybody.